Welcome to the Docs Who Lift podcast, where we distill and simplify the complexities of a healthy lifestyle, exercise, medicine, and weight loss. We're excited to bring you a podcast that's a prescription for clinical practice, scientific recommendations, and just real life. This is the Docs Who Lift podcast.
Hey, welcome back to the Docs Who Lift podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Spencer Nadolski. I got my co-host here, Dr. Carl Nadolski Jr. And today we have a very special guest. And I know that's what every podcast says. We got a very special guest, but this
is for real.
This guest is very special. We have on today, Hormones Demystified. We're not going to, we're going to keep them anonymous because they have a very awesome blog that goes into all the quackery that we see with hormones, specifically a lot of thyroid stuff. They are an endocrinologist that's obviously specialized in hormones, just like my brother, really dedicated a lot of their time. And I would say a hobby. I don't think you're making any money from this.
I think you're allowed to refer to him as him, he and him.
Am I allowed to?
His.
I would
his voice is going to give it away.
Once my voice, exactly. Yeah.
Wow. Now, to be fair, as endocrinologists, we do a lot of, you know, we do transgender medicine. So there, you know, I mean, it could be a trick. So, but for either
I was
way,
saying that.
Either way, even if he's a transgender male, we'll say him. So his. All right.
Okay, that's fine. He's awesome, though. In fact, I use a lot of his writing for just my own, just second checking some of the stuff that's, you know, out there about thyroid hormones, because it's just that excellent, better than even some textbooks that I've seen, because it goes into much more of some of the colloquial, some of the stuff that you just see that wouldn't even be in a textbook that he was able to dig up and kind of explain very nicely.
Yeah, real world stuff. And I'll tell you, you know, as an endocrinologist, I mean, this you're famous, and in the world of endocrinology, this and the mystery that surrounds you, and the and the references that we use from you. I mean, this is really cool, and I hope a lot of people are going to be really excited about this. So we're excited. This is great.
So how did you get into this whole myth busting of like hormones and everything? Obviously, you're an endocrinologist, so that's kind of what you do. But like to take it upon yourself, for the goodness, out of the goodness of your heart, to start battling back against this quackery that it's out there.
Yeah, I definitely want to dive into that. You know, I was thinking, actually, before we dive into that, I was in preparation for talking to you guys today. I was kind of thinking about my so-called origin story, if you will.
Yeah, let's hear it.
And I, even though this maybe isn't the primary driver for my origin, I do think that I have this personal anecdote. It was actually one of my earliest experiences with alternative medicine. And I think it'll just give you a little bit of insight into who I am. And I haven't thought about this for a long time. I haven't written about this. I'm pretty sure I've never spoken publicly about it. It's not because it's a huge deal, but I do think it's interesting. So if you're interested,
I'd love to hear it.
It's an exclusive Docs Who Lift story.
This is a Docs Who Lift exclusive.
Absolutely.
So this actually goes back to my fellowship days, so my endocrinology training. There was a period of time there where I was just under some really severe stress, and I was not handling it well. And I actually thought, you know, I need to talk to somebody about this. So I went to my PCP, and he said, yeah, I want you to go see this psychiatrist at the institution where we worked. And the psychiatrist was, I think he billed himself as a holistic psychiatrist or an integrative psychiatrist or something like that. I had no idea what that was. But, you know, in my mind, I thought, well, you know, in my totally unbiased, you know, non-expert opinion, right? I thought, well, I don't need to be pharmacologically medicated for whatever's going on here. I just need a sympathetic ear. So, you know, holistic sounds good. I'll go to this guy. He'll give me some meditation exercises and breathing exercises. And, you know, if nothing else, he'll just listen to me and help me talk through some of the stuff that's going on.
Yeah.
So I went to him, and he indeed recommended some meditation stuff. And then he also said, hey, listen, there is this neurotransmitter spray, sublingual. I think it was GABA or something like that. He said there's actually evidence. He prided himself on being an evidence-based guy. And he said there's actually some evidence that this can help with acute stress, anxiety, that kind of stuff. The downsides are really low. So I want you to go over to the pharmacy attached to the institution and go buy this stuff. And I said, okay, yeah, sure, sounds good. So I went next door to the pharmacy and I said, hey, listen, just saw Dr. So-and-so. He recommended that I get this spray. And they were like, oh yeah, we don't have that exactly, but we have this other stuff here that's very similar. It'll do the same job. And I was like, okay, great. I'll take it. So I took that, I brought it home, and then I'm looking at the unopened bottle, and on there it says something about homeopathic medication. And nice. At this point in my career, I was familiar with the concept of homeopathy, but I wasn't really familiar. So I didn't really know what it was. I just sort of had this vague sense that something might not be right. So of course, you know, I look at this a little bit closer and it appeared to me that the primary ingredient was water, and the active ingredient, of course, had been diluted to like one part per billion. And so I look this stuff up on the internet, you know, what is homeopathic medication? And I was kind of just incredulous. I'm like, whoa, seriously? This stuff's just diluted to the point where it's essentially just water. And then, of course, they talk about, well, it's not just the dilution that makes the poison here. It's the succussions, or the banging together of the atoms of the active ingredient. So once you bang these atoms together, that releases the energy of the active ingredient into the water. And now you have this very potent solution that will do what it is purported to do. And I went back to the pharmacy with my unopened bottle, and I'm sure that I had a somewhat incredulous tone, and it probably wasn't the most respectful tone, but I kind of went in there and I was like, hey, listen, I looked this stuff up, and, you know, I started to explain as if they, you know, would of course be on the same page as I was. Like, how could anyone who's reasonable think that this is a good idea? And the woman got very huffy with me, and she's like, it's not the dilutions only, it's the succussions, you know, and that releases the energy and so on. And I was like, all right, listen, just give me my money back. Like, this is crazy. So,
and this was a pharmacist? I get my
well, the person with whom I was speaking, I'm not sure if that was an actual pharmacist or just an employee at the pharmacy.
She had a white coat on.
she had a white coat on. So, of course, I trusted whatever medical advice she was dispensing to me. So at that point, I started to interrogate my feelings about what had just transpired. And I actually wasn't that frustrated for myself, because, you know, I figured, listen, I have enough of a background that I can look into this stuff and I can detect when something's rotten in the state of Denmark, right? But what about all of the other people who are lay folks? And they may just have a more credulous posture toward whatever they're being told. Because after all, this pharmacy has the imprimatur of my institution behind it,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So I wrote an email to the holistic psychiatrist and I explained what happened. And to his credit, he was chagrined. And this was not what he had intended. He was upset that the pharmacy was practicing in the way that they were practicing. And he actually asked if he could use my letter in some meetings he was going to have with the upper levels of administration. And supposedly they were going to, you know, sort of tighten the reins on the pharmacy a little bit. So I guess that is all to say that, you know, I don't want to sort of import too much onto this and say, oh, this was the thing that set me on my path. Because it really wasn't. But I think it was my first foray into sort of anti-quackery activism, if you will.
Yeah.
And that's probably just my earliest memory.
That's great, because I was going to ask, well, so what the hell happened to the psychiatrist that recommended this? And so, they wanted you to have a GABA sublingual spray. Did you ever get that, by the way?
No, I never did.
Okay. All right.
Well, I'd be interested to know, is that evidence-based? Because that gets beyond my expertise, for sure.
Clearly, it sounds like there's some biological plausibility. I don't know much about it, but
yeah. I mean, it sounded like that psychiatrist was a truly, maybe, or at least he tried to be an evidence-based, sort of, naturalistic.
Outside the box, yeah.
Yeah, but still evidence-based. Is that fair to say for him?
I think so. I think his intentions were quite good.
Yeah. I had some homeopathy. I did that Arnica, whatever it is, because I had some pain back in medical school because someone said, and I'm just starting medical school. I don't know how to assess the evidence, really. I was trying to figure it all out. And that stuff didn't work worth a damn. So, and then I learned all about homeopathy. So,
what's funny is that...
At least you looked into it.
The only time I ever even use that term is when I'm kind of joking around with patients. And we, and there's this discussion of using like 25 micrograms of levothyroxine or like 5 units of insulin. I'm like, well, it's kind of homeopathic, so you probably don't really need it.
The
if
homeopathic
at that level
dose of thyroid.
Yeah. I was, we talk about, I got that from one of my mentors at some point. So anyways, all right. Well, that's a great anecdote. So go on with how you progress from there.
Sure. So I guess from there, I had some exposure to naturopathy during my fellowship, just because there was a naturopath in town who seemed to have cornered the market. Mm-hmm. And we of course saw a lot of his patients, and I was just collecting a file of wacky stuff. And then that continued on into my practice. So after fellowship, I go into practice and I realize that I'm spending just an incredible amount of time seeing people who have been at best, they have just been spinning their wheels, under the care of a naturopath or some other type of alt med provider. And at worst, they've been hurt, they've had bad outcomes. So, but despite the fact that people were often spinning their wheels, I also was a bit frustrated. I was frustrated for them, right? That they've been hurt or they've been spinning their wheels. But I'm frustrated for myself because I have to spend all this time deprogramming people before I can even begin to program them with the right information, or at least better information or evidence-based information. And I thought, gosh, this is incredibly inefficient what I'm doing here. I've got one patient in the exam room at a time, and not only that, but I'm not getting these people before they have invested so much of their energy and their money and their time into this course of action that is certainly not going to help. I'm seeing them after they've done this, so this is not good. I got to figure out a way to get to these people before, and or at least during their pursuit of alternative medicine. So I think for it was quite some time I was thinking like I should do something. And then I sort of became vaguely aware of what a blog was. I'm not the most tech savvy person in the world. So I was like, I should start a blog, and that just seemed like an impossible hurdle because I was working full time and I suck at technology, so it was not really high on my list of things to do immediately. And I think shortly before I started the blog, I had cut back a bit at work, and that actually opened up. It was a small cutback, but it opened up a lot of mental space for me, a lot of time. But I think more just mental energy. It was sort of liberated there. So I decided, I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna start a blog, and I'm gonna try to give people good information. And then I just started writing, and I figured out pretty quickly that the only way that I could really write that was interesting to me and that I felt would be engaging for readers would have this kind of irreverent tone to it, and that's actually, I guess that's why I am still anonymous, is because the irreverence that is pervasive throughout my blog is sometimes interpreted as offensive by some people, and you know, that's unfortunate but not unexpected. And I actually don't begrudge anybody for taking offense to things, because it's a pretty sensitive subject, right? When it's your health and you're hurting, you know, I don't think people necessarily always hold those two thoughts in their head at the same time, that hey, there's this endocrinologist and he's kind of a jerk a little bit, or maybe he's too brash, but at the same time he really cares about me. Those two thoughts don't necessarily get held by a lot of people. They just go, oh, he's so offensive, and then they just want to sort of hate me and disregard what I say. But on the flip side, you know, I've gotten a lot of positive feedback over the years, which is good, because otherwise I probably would have abandoned this endeavor a long time ago. So people really seem to have responded, and some say that I helped them profoundly, and that was gratifying.
Yeah, well, like we said, I mean, in our realm, I mean, it's greatly appreciated.
Yeah.
I would think a lot of patients are greatly appreciative.
I see the same thing with my memes, so I don't know if you've probably don't even see my memes, but I basically try to do like a good cop, bad cop type of thing. I make kind of offensive memes and then try to teach. And there are some people that are just, they're offended so much where they screw that doctor, he's a jerk. But then there are other people that will say, you know what, it was offensive at first, but then I thought about it and you really taught me. So I think your blog obviously goes into much more detail than my memes. And I think it's an overall very, very positive thing, because the problem is you have all these other doctors, naturopaths, whoever, quacks, just coddling these people and telling them what they want, telling them it's their hormones, whatever. And here you are, a very true expert in hormones, trying to say, no, I'm trying to help you. I'm not trying to rob you. I'm trying to help you. You know, that's so, we really appreciate your work.
I mean, you know, you mentioned naturopaths, but I mean, unfortunately goes way beyond that to real medical doctors.
Oh yeah, medical doctors.
That's I feel like that's the worst when we're dealing with all the, you know, and maybe you'll get into this, but you know, this whole integrative functional, what's the other term? Anyways, you know what I mean.
Whatever.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
You know, they'll get the idea.
The Trojan horses for quackery and alternative medicine. It's very frustrating, and then so many people think, those of us who try to be evidence based and help people, you know, they think we're just like bought and sold by big pharma or something.
No, we don't care.
Don't understand. So, yeah.
Yeah.
So that's great. So so how has it come down to what you're doing now? Tell us how it's come. What's going on now?
Career wise.
Well, where's your blog brought you? I mean, how long have you been writing this thing?
I started it in 2017.
Okay.
And I would say the last couple of years have been a little slow as far as my production on the blog. And it was partly because I was just into some other stuff, and partly because, you know, at some point you start to realize that you've said most of what you want to say. I still think I actually get my best ideas at this point from reader emails and comments on the blog. So I would say most of my posts in the more recent past, the last 1 to 2 years, have been as a result of something directly now suggested by a reader.
We're going to be talking about in the next one. We're going to do two recordings. We're going to be talking about specifically hypothyroidism. But what are your favorite topics other than, like, obviously thyroid is a big one on your blog. What are your favorite
things? And certainly, you know, readers or listeners can go to your blog and read about these topics that you.
Oh yeah, we highly recommend
that. Your favorite. Yeah.
Yeah. So I would say two sort of main things, and then we can maybe drill down a little bit. You know, one. As far as what's my favorite thing to do is, I love and I almost exclusively write about stuff that you can't really find, or at least I can't find. Maybe it's just my poor Googling skills, but you can't find elsewhere on the internet. You know, just as an example, I did this really deep dive into reverse T3.
Because that's my favorite, by the way.
If you, well, thank you.
And yeah, and we'll talk about that in the next episode, but yeah.
I mean, if you look, you know, well, as you guys know, certainly, I mean, if you go to a naturopath, you're almost certainly going to get a reverse T3 level. Mm-hmm. But if you look on any kind of normal evidence-based mainstream website, it's pretty much going to say, you know, a few factoids about reverse T3, and then it's just going to say, yeah, not useful in routine practice. But what those sites never do is they never directly address all of the claims that mm-hmm. alternative medicine makes about why reverse T3 is actually useful and you should check it. So, you know, I love to write about stuff where you just don't understand why what alt med is saying is wrong. It sounds maybe plausible on the surface, and you know, a lot of lay people will say, yeah, you know, I mean, this seems reasonable, you know, why should I not do this? And it's just not enough sometimes as a physician to say, yeah, no, it's worthless, right? Because if you don't if you don't address these things in more detail, you know, the naturopath, remember, of course, has spent like an hour and a half sort of holding someone's hand and very patiently explaining all these things. And you've got, what, 15, 20 minutes, maybe 30 or 40 minutes if it's a new patient. So you have to sort of achieve that level of credibility in a fraction of the time. And that's tough to do when you're just being dismissive and saying, yeah. What your naturopath said, worthless. Forget it. Just listen to me now.
Yep. And then you lost them.
Exactly.
Yeah, now they're mad and they told all their friends.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. So that's one main category I would say is I want to write about stuff where it has to be debunked on my blog because nobody else has done it. So a lot of my stuff is that. And then the second thing I love to write about is just kind of, you know, exploring why people seek out alternative medicine, the psychology of decision making when it comes to our health. These are things that maybe we can dive into next. I just think that in general, as physicians, and I'm going to keep saying physicians because honestly, I don't consider naturopaths physicians. As a physician, we really need to understand what drives people to seek out alternative medicine before we can really hope to help them truly. Because if we don't understand why, then we're sort of missing the whole basis, right, of like what they really care about. Because it's not always an issue of information, right? I mean, there's this quote I love from Derek Sivers. He's sort of an interesting social commentary guy, and he says, if more information was the answer, we'd all be billionaires with perfect abs.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, we have all the information we need. Yes. Like, you know, I'm sure you guys do a lot of counseling about diet, right? Most people probably have an idea of what a healthy diet is, but it's just the rest of it, all the other motivations and hurdles and hangups and all that stuff.
You got it.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, what are some tidbits on, you know, in your exploration of this?
Yeah, what the hell are these people doing?
Yeah, talk about
it. I mean, I have my ideas. Know, why, we've talked about it before, but I want to know your
from your experience. Yeah. Why are people seeking out alternative medicine?
I mean,
that's the crux.
We're here to learn we're here to learn just as much as our listeners.
Yeah.
Sounds good. So I think there are a bunch of things. One of the things that drives people, which is a big one, is desperation, right? Because if we think about it, as physicians, we're not often or always, at least, mindful of the lead up to that visit with the patient. So often they've been struggling for months, maybe years, with no answers. And at this point, by the time they get into our office, they're just hoping that we find something, even if it's bad, just so that it can lead to some kind of strategy. And if we don't acknowledge or appreciate their desperation, you know, they're just going to go seek out a provider who will, and that's often alt med, right? Another thing that alt med does, I think, extremely well, that leads people to seek them out, is they listen. Like, if there's one thing they're awesome at, it's listening. And it's a function partly of time, because they have so much more time, as I said before. But I think what winds up happening is when we have much less time, we can come, it's very easy to come across as being dismissive. So we have to be super careful, right? Because the other thing is that we will sometimes say, hey, listen, you know, all these labs we did, they're normal. The patient hears you're normal. We're saying the testing I've done so far is normal, but they're like, hey, I feel like crap. I'm not normal. Right. And alt med is never going to tell the patient that they're normal. Like they will validate everything. And we have to do that too. We have to validate their symptoms, validate their concerns, yeah. and be very, very careful about the language we use. Another thing that alt med does that is certainly it makes people want to seek them out is they offer a lot of easy fixes, right? So I think in general, as people, we are wired to look for the simplest fix. You know, Occam's razor, simplest answer, that's the right one. But when the simple fix is hard, we're going to look for the easiest fix. So if I say, hey, listen, you got to revamp your sleep, your mm-hmm. diet, your exercise, your mental health, you got to work on your relationships, because that's the simplest answer a lot of the time, but that stuff is hard. So the patients are totally going to prefer all this testing, you know, the 7 pages of labs that AltMed is going to order, because it's going to give them some kind of diagnosis. There's something that's going to be out of range in all that non-standardized testing that they order. And then, of course, there will be all kinds of treatment in the form of supplements, which they mm-hmm. will sell out of their office. And that's much easier. Like, wouldn't it be great if you could just take a supplement, natural, you know, something natural that is going to help you? You know, so there are other things as well. You know, AltMed is really willing to experiment, and they're willing to accommodate people. So, you know, they essentially are going to employ all kinds of unproven treatments, but they're definitely going to present them as evidence-based. You know, as you can see, you know, when you look at stuff on the internet, they'll often say that, oh yeah, there's plenty of evidence that this stuff works. They may cite evidence that doesn't support it, which is what I try to debunk on the blog. But if a patient comes in sort of wondering aloud, you know, I think I might have a thyroid problem, I mean, there's a greater than 95% chance they're going to come out of that office with a diagnosis. And then as a consequence of that sort of willingness to, you know, sort of accommodate anything that a patient says or asks for, if they land in my office, the burden of proof is now on me to prove it wrong.
Right.
So that's kind of a backwards way, I think, of approaching things.
So they have more time. People are paying cash, so they spend more time with them. They test all sorts of unproven things, which increases the probability there will be something off. They'll use different reference ranges in these unproven tests to prove that they're wrong, then sell them supplements under the guise of evidence base. That's going to give them false hope. That's going to fix them. And they'll listen Absolutely. To them. And you know what's also interesting? We've talked about this before. They'll say, you know what? They're good at marketing. They're good at marketing because the diet and exercise stuff that you just said and the sleep, they'll spin it into their own type of, you know, adrenal fatigue or whatever thyroid program that's going to fix their reverse T3 and fix their adrenal fatigue. But it's literally just healthful lifestyle stuff that they should be doing anyway.
Right.
And so it's really it's interesting. And you know, systemically we're in trouble, but I think you kind of nailed it there.
Yeah, absolutely. And you also mentioned that they're paying cash, right? And I think mm-hmm. that's another important feature of this whole interaction with alternative medicine. I think people value what they pay for. They come to us, it's covered by insurance, they go to a naturopath, they may very well be paying out of pocket. And now you're financially invested, so of course it's very difficult to admit to yourself, I think I'm wasting my money here. So, yeah. You know, you really want to believe. You know, you guys had also mentioned before, you know, distrust of big pharma. I think that's mm-hmm. another thing that drives people into the arms of alternative medicine, because they do believe, I mean, people have said, you know, this is in person, not just on my blog. They've said some things to me, you know, that just are crazy making. I mean, they really do sometimes believe that, you know, I get kickbacks for prescribing certain medications.
Yeah. They definitely do.
Yeah, or that the conferences that we go to, the national conferences, since they're sponsored by pharmaceutical companies, and that we're only learning what Big Pharma wants us to know. So
I just want to know where my big check is, the big golf, you know, golf tournament size check. I want that.
like Happy Gilmore.
Yeah, that's what I want.
And ironically, and we say this all the time, is that what they don't realize, the truth of it is that the alternative medicine people selling their supplements are the ones with the conflict of interest making the money. The multi-billion-dollar supplement. Or, you know, and there are those who are, you know, now they're selling these compounded medications that are questionable out of their office, whatever. Talk about who's actually getting the conflict of interest kickbacks. It's an ironic sort of deal, I also, you know, your point of, you know, we have to, as doctors and all healthcare professionals, not be dismissive. So I think the classic example is adrenal fatigue. Yeah. We, you know, I know Spencer and I have talked about all the time about, and we try to tell patients this, the fatigue is real. If someone comes in and saying they're fatigued, that's real. It doesn't necessarily mean it's their adrenal glands. And of course, you and I'll get those real referrals for real adrenal insufficiency, and we're going to look into it. But, you know, all so often it is, you know, diet, exercise, sleep, or some other cause of fatigue. But now they're getting, who knows what they're getting.
Rhodiola.
That might even,
it's always rhodiola.
And it might even cover up their symptoms, you know, so maybe they feel better.
Hydrocortisone. You know, but, some of these docs are giving out hydrocortisone, just low doses.
Which just is kind of covering up their symptoms. Yeah,
Adderall. They're giving them some methamphetamines.
I was going to say
testosterone. They're giving them some T3, some testosterone. It's all natural though, so it's good. Eventually, they come in AFib with a stroke from their hematocrit being too high. that did happen. I told you that.
I know. I know that happened to you. So.
That happened. That did happen.
That's frightening.
It was frightening. Well, okay. Yeah. So, any other tidbits of like why people seek out? And then again, I agree with my brother in that like it's hard when you 5-10 minutes. I don't even take insurance anymore, so I'm one of these quacks. Not really. I do spend time, and try to appreciate that I have more time with people. But in the office, because I was in the primary care office, 5, 10, 15 minutes, and someone comes in saying they have adrenal fatigue and they have a ton of these labs, and I have to grit my teeth and not be like, this bastard is stealing from you. This isn't real. But you have to go, okay, so here's the deal. And luckily, I've done all those tests myself. We've had podcasts about this, but I've done all these tests and kind of gone down similar road to be able to explain it. But yeah, I think not being dismissive and trying to be as validating as possible is what we can do.
I think that's really our best weapon in the arsenal is really just listening and validating symptoms, of course. I think, you know, as far as the last few tidbits that I would say, you know, that drives people to seek out AltMed, endocrinologists, I think, have pretty poor access in general, so it can take a long time to see one. And that's obviously not good. It's way easier to get in with a naturopath. And then people just have access to so much information now, right? So they don't necessarily have to take the mainstream doc's word for anything because they can do their own, quote, research. Yeah. So those are things. And then I guess the other thing that I would say that AltMed is extraordinarily good at is manufacturing controversy. So, you know, that's a common complaint that people have when they come see me. They're like, listen, I've been reading about this stuff and, you know, I read the mainstream sites and, you know, Mayo Clinic says this one thing. And then I go to this, you know, other AltMed site and they say something completely different. And people wind up so confused and they wind up being very scared to take what might be a helpful medication. I mean, if we think about the class of medication bisphosphonates for osteoporosis, right? over the last 10 years, if we look at the data, there's been this dramatic decrease in the number of prescriptions mm-hmm. for bisphosphonates. And that is pretty much directly a result of the stuff that's out there. That's, you know, the misinformation, the disinformation, you know, that starts with some kind of kernel of truth. Like, okay, you know, there's some really weird, rare side effects that can happen, but your risk of a fracture is like orders of magnitude higher than the risk of one of these side effects. So now what we're going to see over the next 10 years, we're going to see probably a huge increase in hip fractures among elderly folks. And that's all preventable. But that's, I think, directly a result of AltMed's manufactured controversy ability.
We see the same in statin. We're, you know, we're in the cholesterol world. And so that's that's what I fight every day. And it hurts me to know that there are a lot of people being harmed by stopping their medicine. Yeah. So it's unfortunate. What tidbits do you have? Like, what advice do you have for those who are even I assume people that are listening to this are probably not going into alternative medicine. They may have come from alternative medicine back to us, but if there are people listening that want to go, that are even thinking about it, what would be something you would tell them before reaching out to these kind of unproven practitioners?
I would say if you have a good relationship, or if you can form a good relationship with your endocrinologist or your primary care physician or whoever your trusted healthcare professional is, you know, if you really want to reach out there because, you know, your cousin told you that this naturopath is really good and, you know, really sensible and only recommends, you know, evidence-based naturopathy or whatever it is, and you want to give it a shot, okay, go ahead, give it a shot. But then take all of the lab testing that was done, take all the recommendations you were given, and bring them back to your trusted healthcare provider and ask for their opinion. Because if this is someone you trust, you know that they're going to give you an informed patient opinion mm-hmm. about what's going on. And then the last thing I would say is listen to that opinion. And, take it on board, and then you can make your decision, do what you're going to do.
Yeah, I think that's a good little tidbit there. Anything else before we do the next podcast?
I think people, especially your followers, they want to know what you're doing and what your future is like. I think you mentioned something that, you might be changing things up or so. What's going on?
Yeah. As of right now, I am not practicing. I'm really struggling with calling it retired from clinical practice because I wasn't quite ready to make that leap. I've been steadily cutting back over the last several years. I'm sure as you guys well know, and a lot of people listening to this will know, I mean, the practice of medicine is getting increasingly difficult, and, you know, large companies and hospital systems and whatnot are taking over a lot of the smaller groups, gobbling them up. And it's really difficult to practice, at least for me, as I wanted to practice. Mm-hmm. And, if I'm honest with myself, it's not all that. I can't lay all the blame at the feet of the ever increasing size of the companies that I started to work for. But I think I was getting tired of the treadmill, the 20-minute visit.
It's miserable. It's miserable.
Yeah. Yeah. There are times when, contrary to what some of my readers would think, I really have a great relationship with the vast majority of my patients, and especially actually the super difficult, super anxious people. Mm-hmm. That's actually my specialty. I'm very, very good at talking to them and listening to them. So I like doing that, but I don't like the clock. Mm-hmm. And then just all the other stuff that goes along with that, because there's just an increasing number of clicks in the medical record, all the other stuff that we sort of bitch and moan about all the time, right? So nobody really wants to hear that. But after a while, it's kind of exhausting. And I think I just got to the point where I didn't want to be on someone else's timetable.
You wanted your autonomy.
Yeah, I wanted my autonomy, and I did not. I'm too old at this point. I know I'm not old, but I am too old to, or at least too tired to sort of strike out and start my own gig, especially in today's climate. It's just like the
direct primary or a direct practice. Like, you would kill it if you charge just some cash and no insurance. I don't know. I mean, obviously, I mean, I assumed right now for making money, you're coming out with like a supplement line, rhodiola and homeopath. I assume that's gotta be what you're doing. But
of course. Yeah. I was going to keep that on the down low, but now that you've exposed it, I'll just come clean. So go to my website and please buy my stuff. I sell nothing. I do still have an administrative role at my old institution. So I still have relationships there, and the administrative role I have, I kind of like, although that's getting increasingly difficult because of the bureaucracy. But for a long time, no one was looking over my shoulder there. And it was pretty great because we could be very efficient when no one was looking over our shoulders. And then for a little bit there, actually, I think this may have happened in between the time that we had contacted each other about the podcast and now, but for a while I was working for a startup in the sort of the health and nutrition world, and that was a lot of fun. I was doing medical review for them, so a lot of heavy editing and a little bit of writing and stuff, and that was great. I loved it, but they were having some financial difficulties, and they needed to unload some of their most expensive employees, and I fit that bill, unfortunately.
I'm kind of in that startup world, so I may be reaching out to you if I.
That's a good point.
Yeah. So that was fun, but right now I'm just kind of taking at my wife's suggestion. I'm kind of taking the summer to figure my stuff out and see what I want to do. There may be a Hormones Demystified book in the future. I'm flirting with the idea.
Oh, gosh. I'll tell you what, that would be.
I would chill the hell out of that.
We would love to help you. Yeah, we'll
chill the hell out of that book.
We would love to help you with that, because that would be great. I'll tell you, I mean, that would be well taken. That would be cool.
I got a lot of Instagram followers. I would put that up. No, I would not take any cut of that. I would just make sure everybody's like, read this, please. Please read
this. Right. Well, much appreciated. We're going to have to talk about that in more detail.
Definitely.
That's a great idea.
Well, cool. All right. Well, anything else before we go on and invite people to next week's episode with Hormones Demystified on thyroid? Anything else?
It is up to you if you want to talk about sort of any of the other psychological factors involved in why people make really stupid decisions about their healthcare, or we can sort of table that and just jump into thyroid for the next podcast.
Yeah, I mean, that could be a good intro for the next one, perhaps.
Very good. So. All right, we're going to do our outro. Till next time.
Yeah, tune in.
This podcast is for entertainment and education and information purposes only. Remember, the physicians on this podcast are not your physician. It should not be considered professional or personalized medical advice. It should not be used to replace speaking with your physician or medical professional to discuss your specific health concerns. The topics discussed should not be used solely to diagnose or treat any condition. As a result, we are not responsible for any unwanted medical outcomes. The views and opinions discussed are of those of the host only and do not represent those of any other entities. We'll be right back.